B-Pod Studios.
Have a smart speaker.
Oh, yes, why?
Listening is just a command away.
Remember, I'm the boss, and I give all the orders.
To say, play 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Don't do that.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Gary Goldman, who came up in Boston, and if you watch his special that is getting rave reviews, I've seen it. It's fantastic. The Great Depression, streaming now on HBO Go. He was a resident again of this area. Not under the best conditions, but nonetheless, he was here. And the great thing about The Great Depression, along with the stand-up, it's also has scenes of Gary when he moved home and Gary doing some... There's a scene that we'll get into that's exceptionally uncomfortable. But Gary Goldman, you will be at the Wilbur Theater, which now you won't even need to come in because now you're this big... Now you got the Apatow on your resume. Because Apatow did this thing for Gary, Gary Goldman. He's got the... So now he's going to be in every movie under the sun. But January 18th at the Wilbur Theater. Get him now while you can. They're available at GaryGoldman.com or TheWilbur.com. Gary, congratulations in all seriousness. This has become something else, huh?
Oh, my word. I had no idea it would resonate with so many people. But I remember when I came in to see you guys, we were talking about it, and the idea resonated with you, Fred. So it gave me some indication that I wasn't alone.
Oh, yeah. I got mental problems. I'm on the Lamictal, I'm on the Paxil, and I haven't had an orgasm in 3 weeks. But you know that's what one has to do in order to stay clipped on the ground. But all right, so
it seems like a fair trade.
You know what, man? At this stage of my life, all I know is if I was single, girls would have nothing to worry about because you ain't getting it from me. All right, Gary. So we had talked about things like this in the past when you've been on about depressions and things, but you got hit hard, and there is a scene where you're at a club, and it's just the culmination of all this stuff. Can you kind of explain when you're up there and you're trying to do this comedy for the first time and you're trying to talk about your depression? I mean, that's really hard to watch. Can you kind of talk about what's going on there?
Well, it was at the comedy studio when it was in Harvard Square above the Hong Kong. So I was spending my days. I was living at home in Peabody, and I would try to write things, and then at night I would go to the comedy studio and try them out. And I remember that my brain was not firing very well, and I couldn't think of things, and I had this idea that I would just get up there and talk and figure something out. That had worked in the past, and I was just dying. And so they would give me a DVD at the end of the night, and I know for a fact I never watched that one because I was certain that it would just make me feel worse because it looked so bad. And then when we started doing the documentary, the director had asked me if I had any video from that time, and I showed him that, and he was like, "Oh, this is gold. This is gold." And I didn't know that we were going to open the special with it, because usually when you start a special, I remember seeing Richard Pryor pull up in a limousine and riding on the Sunset Strip, or all these other comedians, they walk through the crowd and the audience is going crazy, and this special is the rare special that starts with me just bombing, just dying on stage, and that's where it begins, and it gets a lot better and funnier, but we thought that was an interesting place to start it.
Well, it's a brilliant place to start it, because he's underselling it. I mean, he's not bombing. I mean, it's like disturbing. But you can't get the words out. Like, bombing, everyone bombs. I mean, this is... But so anyway, the reason it's brilliant is because you go from that and not... And just basically going like, well, this is the bottom. You know, I've hit bottom. And then fast forward, and here you are, and now you got this special. And you're great to other comics. And if you follow Gary Goldman on Twitter, he really pumps up other comics. And if you've ever thought about being a comedian or a writer, he gives you a ton of insights into the process. So he's very giving in that way. And you are a tactician, obviously, just by seeing you work and then reading your Twitter. It's obvious how much work you come into this. And in the special, you can see it. I'm asking a very long question.
But no, it's okay.
But you being a tactician like that, how long did it take from that moment in Boston to working this out to do the special?
I would say I wrote it between September of 2017 and probably Thanksgiving of 2018. And then we sold it to HBO in December, and then we shot it in June of 2019. So about a year and a half to write it and put it together. So the thing that was different was that I was in my right mind and I could think straight, and I had some self-esteem, and I was able to have the energy to go out and get on stage every night. So that was the difference. I mean, for a couple of years prior to that, I was just dragging around my body and not even really thinking straight or making any progress as far as my comedy went. So it was the huge difference was that I was healthy.
Well, now that you've opened yourself up and everyone now knows what you've gone through, does it help?
Everybody knows everything about me, and I have to understand that when I'm meeting somebody, because they know everything.
Gary, everyone's effed up. I mean, the people you're meeting are probably so relieved to meet you, because they're like, oh, Jesus, finally, at least I know this guy's on the level.
But because you're famous, though, and that's out there, do you feel like a priest where everyone now wants to talk to you about depression? And as good or as bad as that can be, it can be quite a load to bear if you're the guy that everyone goes to.
Well, I think at the level it's at right now, I was in Salt Lake City over the weekend and doing shows. The level it is right now, where there's maybe a dozen people who have connected on that, they're mostly grateful. They don't really ask me for any advice or what pills to take or any kind of actual practical advice. They're just mostly just thanking me for opening up about it, and I think a lot of people have used it to explain to their family how they feel, and so that's really helpful, because for years I couldn't really even explain to somebody who didn't have it what was going on. So I'm really that's been really nice. It hasn't gotten to the point where I need a break or a therapist to talk me through this. It's really been very energizing.
When did you learn that "get over it" was not an appropriate response?
Yeah, tell Rich
to your depression.
Everything seemed to be going well. Why is this happening?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, I think after I read Bruce Springsteen's biography and he talked about not being able to get out of bed, and I thought, wow, if Springsteen is having a hard time, and then he took an antidepressant and felt better, and I thought, wow, Prozac is better than being Bruce Springsteen.
Exactly. What do you got to be sad about?
I know, you're the boss.
Exactly. What's so wrong with you? All right, so you've turned this into letting people in to everything that's going on with you, and it's very funny. But is there a part of this special when you were writing it, you were afraid that you might lose the audience?
Oh yeah, definitely. When I talked about being in the hospital and then having electroconvulsive therapy, that I thought would just bum everybody out, and they would
be.
It's
the funniest part of the special. That joke you say. That I'm not going to tell the joke, but the joke you say there is the hardest I laughed in the whole special. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was worth it, because the thing was that the scariest part for me was going into the hospital, and if I had known how ordinary it was and how there really was not too much to be afraid of, I think I would have gotten help at that level sooner. So I was hopeful that I could turn that funny and make people feel more comfortable. But the joke is that I got recognized in the hospital by another patient, and it was a very funny exchange. So I that was really, I must say that was good because I had a friend right away.
Okay, so the electro, what do they call it now? Electro?
They call it electroconvulsive therapy. The electroshock wasn't frightening enough, so they made it electroconvulsive, which I don't know if that's much more than a lateral move, but
right.
That's what they call it. And right. it was really effective, man. It worked really quickly and took away this anxiety that was just, I mean, I couldn't even function. I was shaking all the time, and I was just out of my mind. So that worked like in three treatments. So 1 week, and that was taken away. So that I was really, really in a much better place.
And by the way, yeah, that his telling of that whole story is he made it very, very funny. Well, Gary,
I have to ask one question. Yes. Before you leave, because the special obviously is something I want everyone to watch. But you're in the movie Joker, and I'm reading all these reports about how intense the set was with Joaquin Phoenix on there. Is that all true? Like, was it truly an air of, I don't know, like almost like a stressful type of air working on the set of that movie?
No, not for me. I was there for like maybe 3 or 4 hours. I didn't even have to audition. The director called me. I guess he had gotten my information from a casting director. He called me. He said, "Don't cut your hair. And what joke do you want to do?" I came in to have a suit made for me for the, because it was a time period type thing. And then I went to Dangerfields, which they had remade into a Gotham comedy club. And if you notice, Gotham City, it looks a lot like New York City. It's very similar. And then I did the joke maybe 8 times. The only complaint I would have is there was an extra who was laughing in the wrong places. And I started to get self-conscious. I was like, what is this with this guy? And then stupid me finally realizes after 8 or 9 takes, it's Joaquin Phoenix, you moron. But they didn't even give me a script or anything. I really worked off my own act, and the audience was hyped up to laugh. So it was really easy. But I have a feeling, or I think I remember, that he was being called by his character name the whole thing, which means that he was in character the whole time, which, yeah, that can be pretty intense.
Oh, so during takes, the director was calling him by his character name and not Joaquin.
Right. But he wasn't even referring to him before I was aware that he was.
Yeah, you just thought there was a crappy extra. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there was an extra who was trying to get a bigger part by laughing in the wrong place.
Did you ever talk to him, and did he stay in character when you spoke with him?
He the only thing I think is that he was like deferential to me because I was a bigger stand-up comedian than him within the character's reality, and so he was kind of shy around me when I ran into him in the makeup trailer. That's the only thing I could explain to make sense, because it was very different where usually you meet the people that you're in the scene with, but he was but a strikingly handsome man, I will say.
I'll tell you what, I don't deny that. I like him long and lean. And you did the, I'm seeing here, because I just Googled you, and I see you did the Marc Maron podcast. How long did it take for him to throw in that he was in that movie?
I did the Marc Maron podcast like 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, okay, because it's right up here. Yeah. He's got a little insufferable. I can't even listen to it anymore. He reads emails.
Oh, really?
He reads emails like, "Oh, you saved my life," and this. And that's like, who's reading that, dummy? All right. Gary Goldman. This is the last you'll hear of him on this show, because he don't need this local radio no more.
No. I'll always come in because I love you guys, and you help me through difficult times.
Well, listen, they all say that. They all say they're going to come back. Where's Bill Burr? All right.
And if you're ever feeling depressed and you need somebody to pick on, we still have Wallach. You know, you could still go that way.
If you want abusing other people therapy,
I'm here for you, Gary.
That's right. Here.
But Gary Goldman, The Great Depression, is streaming now on HBO Go. And now, are we going to be in some sort of extras when you were in here?
Yes. Okay. That day that I came in, and we talked. We'll be in the extras when they put them up on HBO Go. So I'll let you know about that.
All right, and it is the Peace of Mind tour, January 18th at the Wilbur. Get your tickets now, GaryGolman.com and thewilbur.com. All right, Gary, we appreciate it so much.
Thanks, guys. It was great catching up with you. Thank you.
As always, man, good
talking
to you.
There you go, Gary Goldman.
That was crazy because he was supposed to do our 10th anniversary show at the Wilbur, and we just stopped hearing anything back from him for a while. And we were like, why is he ignoring us? This is really strange. Yeah. And so we were kind of pissed for a little bit at Gary. And so about 6 months later, he asked if he could come in, and we're like, well, we like him, but I mean, he kind of did us wrong. So we brought him in studio, and the first thing he says to the mic, he goes, hey, guys, you know, the reason that I didn't do the show is that I was in a clinic. I was suffering from depression, and I didn't want to tell anybody. And I went, whoa. And that's when he talked about how he ended up turning it into something, and Apatow went to him, and they made this special. But, I mean, that took us totally by surprise. But good for him to get on the other side of it and be able to actually make something out of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so we will return in just a moment.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, this is my band in eighth grade.
Yeah, what is this? This is probably somebody like, UFO or something. Triumph.
I just said my three. I've read a book about the basis from UFO.
We have.
You want to be in the Scorpions? Or you want to be in UFO? How about both, baby?
UFO. All right, we have to talk about a tweet that was just sent out a minute ago. So at 8 o'clock every Monday, we usually have Brandon Merriweather. And, we tweeted that he was going to be out, on the show, and he didn't show up. And this is just, you accept that when you have Brandon Merriweather. It's been like that in the past.
He's a man of many interests, many business ventures. Sometimes you can get lost in the commotion.
And so there was a tweet that somebody sent, a gentleman by the name of Brendan Cahill. It said, Mondays suck, but Brandon Merriweather on Touch and Rich make it better. Hashtag Big Bang Clock. And that was retweeted by none other than Brandon Merriweather 11 minutes ago. And when Brandon Merriweather retweeted it, he put hashtag Merriweather Mondays.
Maybe
where are you?
We're in a Pacific time?
does he think it is?
He's in Europe somewhere.
He's still got 2 hours.
What time does he think it is?
An hour and a half or something? He's still got an hour and a half.
I mean, listen, to be quite honest, I don't want him to call it now because tomorrow.
No. Yes, we're out of money.
But I mean, just Merriweather, like, it's just, I guess,
one
15
less thing
minutes ago.
Need.
Yeah,
one less thing that we need for tomorrow.
It's true.
And we have this whole Brady thing that everyone is loving.
I mean, just how great is that? Brandon Merriweather just misses the show, and he's like, yep, that's right, Merriweather Monday. He's like, dude, it's Monday, and you missed it.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening, but we'll have to get his fresh take on it, tomorrow. So, that's Rainbow? That's Dio's band?
Rainbow.
Dio and Rainbow.
Talk about a band that you never listen to.
Stone Cold, right? That's Rainbow.
And by the way,
Richie Blackmore's Rainbow.
The amount of our listeners letting us know that it's Rainbow is awesome.
Really?
We have a huge Hesher audience, and I love it. Thank you so much to everyone.
Yeah, get much more Heshery than Rainbow.
Oh, totally. That was his band, right? That was Dio's band, Rainbow?
He was in there's many incarnations.
He was also in a band called Elf, which is just like...
Or a bunch of short guys.
The most apt description for
it's
a Dio
him
band.
And Billy Joel. And Elton John.
And Mike Reese.
He did all the statistics on the tone.
We are indeed Elf. Everyone's like tweeting Brandon Brother, bro, you didn't call. What happened to this morning?
Yeah.
Do you know what time it is, Brandon? People are saying. There is a report that has come out that Emmanuel Sanders right now is in the trading block. 2-5, the Broncos right now. And Emmanuel Sanders is pissed. Matter of fact, he just tweeted something yesterday. It's a video of him like doing this, like shrugging his shoulders. And everyone's reading into that. And maybe that means something. I don't know. I don't speak subtweet. So, according to, though, somebody out in Denver, one of the reporters out there, they do believe that he is someone that they are going to move. And why not? I mean, it's the last year of his contract. They're not going to do anything. They're 2-5. Flacco's awful. Emmanuel Sanders is obviously pissed off at the whole situation. And one of the teams that is showing interest, according to Adam Schefter, is the Patriots. Now, I love Emmanuel Sanders. Matter of fact, when it was Demaryius and it was Emmanuel Sanders on the same team, I was never a fan of Demaryius. Always loved Emmanuel Sanders.
He's
was
a tough guy. He'll go in all those dirty spots in the field. He'll take punishment. And most importantly, he's not going to cost you a one or a two. By all inclination, by all reports I've seen, at most, he'll cost you a three.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd do that in a second.
Yeah, so he is. His name is being thrown out there. Also, another report coming out just this morning from Burt Breer. The Patriots inquired about O.J. Howard, but they're told that he is not available. I mean, the Patriots are, if you believe everything you read, they're really active. And the deadline is next Wednesday or next Thursday?
A week from tomorrow.
Okay, so it's a week from tomorrow. So, I mean, it's right around the corner. And, I mean, pretty much any wide receiver or tight end that's going to be available, you've heard the Patriots' name surrounded by. And this one, I believe, I mean, obviously because it's from Burt Breer as well.
Burt sat in here and said that, actually, last week. He was saying, obviously, Tampa Bay has Cameron Brait, who's their starting tight end, and O.J. Howard's kind of fallen out of favor with the administration. So it makes sense, but apparently not. They do not want to deal him.
I just love the fact that with all this going on, you still have Antonio Brown essentially begging to come back to the NFL. And in that video that he made this like 6-minute YouTube video that first of all just shows how great of a father he is. He says, yeah, I go to my kids' basketball games now. You're like, all right, dude.
Well, he's saying how selfless he's become.
You're being selfless. I'm now all my kids are here and I'm eating cereal with them. I'm like, all right, well.
Yeah, he's got to get up in the morning to be with the kids.
It's called being a father. And then the other part of it is him walking around with a Patriots hat and then, like, dusting these community college chumps on a field. Like, I mean, these guys look like they shouldn't be on the same field as Antonio Brown. He's killing them, of course. And it's just showing that he's a changed man now. And I guess reports are saying that there are teams that are willing to take a flyer on him despite the fact that the commissioner's still kind of sitting there on top of this civil suit. And the investigation and all this just kind of waiting. It's almost as if they are waiting. And like Sports Illustrated apparently is sitting on stuff because Robert Klemko said that he heard another charge was going to drop. And it almost seems like as soon as he goes on a team, it's all going to happen again. So whoever signs him has got to be willing to sign him for nothing, like no guaranteed money, so they can drop him immediately when this stuff becomes real.
Well, Brady knew that he's going to go to the Ravens. That's why he made the video of him coming out of the Asian spa. That's the big rumor going around.
Is that the rumor now?
That is the rumor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm smelling jets in the air.
Yeah, you're upset. Yeah.
You feel the opposite of how you felt on Friday when you were not only are they going to win, if they win tomorrow, they're going to win 4 or 5 in a row.
You said playoffs. You said playoffs.
Despite the 0-4 start.
They could win 4 or 5 in a row. They're playing a bunch of crap, but.
But as I said on Friday, the Jets have never proven themselves to be flawless when a situation like that has presented itself.
Well, I'll tell you that. Well, I don't recall a situation as bad as the NFL is right now. I don't recall.
So now tonight doesn't matter.
And then people will go, well, look at the records of the teams that these teams played. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's losing records, but if everything's all being equal, I mean, you could still play teams with losing records that are far better than the teams with losing records today. I mean, the NFL has got a real problem on its hands with all this crap. But no, I'm smelling the jets in the air. I don't like the smell. It smells like salami that's been left out in the sun for 2 days. I don't like it. They're going to blow it. CJ Mosley's going to re-aggravate his injury for a series.
This is going to be a close game, Fred.
Then the defense is going to be in disarray. And then Adams will make a big hit, and then the next day he'll put something on Instagram about how great he is. So calls himself the president
of
safeties.
Okay.
Of the Raider Rudy fan club.
Not Raider Rudy.
He was the president.
I'm smelling jets in the air. I don't like the smell.
Okay.
Patriots by 3 touchdowns.
No, that's not going to happen.
Why not?
It's going to be a close game.
Why not?
It's going to be a close game. Brady's missing a lot of offensive personnel. He still has the same left tackle he had last week.
Trap game.
Divisional games can't be trap games.
Divisional game.
Against the Jets.
Darnold will make up for some of it. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a pain in the ass to watch if you're a Patriots fan.
Edelman still probably hurt.
Yeah. The other thing about it is, Fred, the Patriots are one Julian Edelman injury away from really having a problem.
Watson's got to be their tight end, right?
Yep.
The other two guys are out.
The other two guys are out.
He hasn't played with them yet.
Don't forget Tomlinson, the blocking tight end. Very important.
Oh, that's right. The blocking tight end.
That's right. The blocking tight end.
So they got that's all screwy. Burkhead's out. Gordon's out. I don't know if Dorsett's feeling good. I mean, he was obviously out.
Dorsett's questionable with
the
hamstring.
I predict Adams going for a big shot in Edelman. Edelman making a move and scoring an 80-yard touchdown.
Okay.
See, what I don't see is Sam Darnold throwing, like, three pick sixes.
Oh,
like,
no. Sammy D.
Let's
not go crazy.
Is this a big setup, Fred, so that you can play both sides of the fence tomorrow?
Le'Veon Bell will have 30 yards rushing. That I guarantee you. He'll have under 50 yards rushing.
Okay.
They held him to that last time, right?
Well, yeah.
It was like 50-something, I think.
I mean, Sammy D's going to show. He's going to show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a show pony. You just can't. I mean, you can't put him back in the barn with a bunch of goats. I mean, he's going to, wrong term, donkeys. I mean, he's a show pony. I mean, he's going to go out there. He's going to do his thing. I mean, he's going to give you his pizzazz. You're going to see him slither around that pocket like a damn snake. That's what they say. They say he's part Stabler, part Elway.
Hmm.
That's what they say about Stan.
So it is.
Because he's a snake. Plus, he's got that cannon.
Yes.
All right. So Sammy D probably throw three touchdowns, but they'll still lose by three touchdowns.
42-21.
Yep.
Okay.
I love the people who are just tweeting, Brandon, today is Monday.
Listen, I'm glad he didn't call in. We can have him on tomorrow.
We got him tomorrow.
It makes our meeting lickety-split.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amen.
Yeah. All right, so we got the stat coming up, Rich. What will we discuss?
All right, we got a little more details on that Tom Brady spa video. On top of that, Sam Adams made a beer so good it's illegal.
Someone gave me like this hemp beer, and it tasted like weed. And to that, I'd say,
ooh,
why would I want to drink that?
There is, yeah. I've never heard of hemp beer, but I've heard of, like, the CBD, like, one that's got the CBD in it.
It had CBD.
Hemp?
Yeah, it was CBD.
All right.
Whatever, hemp, it has CBD, same thing.
And it tastes like weed?
It tastes exactly like weed.
Nobody wants that.
You know who wants it? People who buy craft beer. Because they're like, oh, no! Look what I got! Something that's perfectly legal!
And Nick all of a sudden's got a chub.
Yeah, because Nick grew his beard because as soon as you start drinking craft beer, you get a beard. Just comes in like nobody's business. And then you start going, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to such and such a city. Oh, you got to go to the breweries. No. What's wrong with a bar? No, you go to the breweries so they can show you how the beer is made. Wow. That sounds awesome. All right, we will be back. Here are the headlines.
Hello, boys and girls.
There were two things that I remember being
like must-see television.
Toucher and Rich on Twitch TV. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what do we got going on?
I was telling Fred about this off the air. So I had to go to Ashland. Way the hell out there.
Not that far.
Yesterday, my son had like a birthday party or something out there. And so I dropped him off and I, you know, had to find a place to use a restroom. And there was a Dairy Queen there. And as I walk into the restaurant, I hear some of the music going. And then I go into the restroom and I took out my phone and I had to record what it sounded like in there. And this is what it sounded like inside the Dairy Queen bathroom in Ashland. Yes, that was in the bathroom, and yes, it was that loud.
And yes, it was the most kick-ass part of Still of the Night.
They were cranking Whitesnake.
Oh, my God. I've been by that. I know exactly where that is. I've been by there dozens of times.
The best comment someone put on my Instagram last night was, did you wait until the big build-up in order to drop the deuce? Oh, baby. Oh, woman. Yeah. I mean, I just walked in. And it was kind of loud. And by the way, just they were playing this metal as hell stage because, or it was like metal and like, you know, kind of like this, you know, dirt rock. Because they started playing, I think it was "Give Me All Your Lovin'" off of the Eliminator album from ZZ Top. I think
the Eliminator album. Yes, indeed, that car.
I mean, it was this loud.
There's like no bass, man. Too tinny. I don't like the tone.
Right. It sounds like I'm, like, seeing them in concert. Like, it's that loud.
I mean, DQ's known to rage.
I mean, they are known to rage. We do know that. They are known to rage.
I've never had Dairy Queen.
Are you kidding me?
What?
I never grew up around a Dairy Queen.
Neither did I. I happened to move into a town that has one.
They were always like around. They were always in hick towns.
Dude, your parents live in Tennessee.
There's one by my parents' house, but I have never been in it.
Okay, what do we got? List of things Fred has never
Predator.
Eaten or done. He's never had mac and cheese.
Predator.
Never had a cheeseburger.
Never had a cheeseburger. Never seen Predator.
And now DQ.
Never been to a Dairy Queen.
And you've never been to a Dairy Queen.
Nope.
Dude, Dairy Queen's excellent.
It is. I'll tell you awesome. This. If you have every single, quite literally, every non-West Coast fast food franchise on a three-mile stretch, it's easy not to go to the Dairy Queen.
No. So you never played, okay, I guess, yeah, growing up, Dairy Queen was the place where you went after your season was over.
Yeah, you grew up
and your dad and everyone else's dads would bring you to go get Dairy Queen.
Yeah, yep. you grew up in Kennesaw. The Dairy Queens are only in places with the average IQ is 2.
Dairy Queens grew on trees.
Hey, wait a minute.
In Kennesaw.
Natick's a great town.
Dairy Queen's legit. Well, okay, so
they have to throw it in Natick because that's when you know you're in Natick.
Nowhere near the strip. Nowhere near the strip of fast food. It's in a residential neighborhood.
Like, all I know is, like, if you were like went to like a lake where Kid Rock is played, as there would be a Dairy Queen,
or just good old fashioned Americans. So yeah. I like to call it Fred.
No, we didn't.
Not commies.
Staple
like
that
you.
Big old not, American flag.
Not I've Dairy Queen. Commies.
We used to have a Jack in the Box in Farmington Hills, but then they said we're getting out of Dodge. We're going West Coast only, baby.
Yeah, I was It wasn't Jack in the Box where I grew up. It was Hardee's.
Oh, we had Hardee's. I used to get the Turkey Club at Hardee's. They don't make they, and then they didn't make sandwiches. Hardee's is bootleg.
Well, I mean, we all agree that around this area, there is such a massive shortage of fast food restaurants.
Unless you live where Wallach lives, and that's like when you're going down Route 9.
I got no problems where I am.
But that's the street of dreams over there. But
damn right.
That's a rarity.
Traffic gets terrible.
2 miles from my house.
That's a good point. Traffic sucks over there.
You know you're there because traffic gets terrible, and then there's that dumb mall that's too overwhelming.
Oh, I was on my way through that area, through the area you're in. I was on Route 9 going over to Ashland.
Sure.
And so I'm like, I had a car full of like kids, and I'm like, we need to get something to eat. So I Googled Taco Bell, and I'm like, all right, we'll do a drive through.
There's one
Taco
in
Bell.
That mall. There's no
Framingham.
No. There's none on that street.
It's not the one that's in the mall. There is another one right about a mile away from it. So we go to it. It's not a drive through.
No,
it's a Kentucky. I know exactly what it is. It's a Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell.
Exactly.
It's in Framingham.
And you have to get out of your car and go in and get
that's
your
right.
food.
Yes.
So if you do
and
have
it's
a
it's good because you can see how it's made in the technicians that are back there.
I don't want to see how it's made.
I think Fred
I
was
like
kidding.
It.
Just a guess.
No, but I used to have a good friend that lived right across the street from there, and I told you that I'd just get absolutely wasted and drive home. No, I'd get absolutely wasted, and Stephanie would drive me home, and I would have like I'd wake up in the morning, and there would be like because if you go into a Taco Bell KFC drunk. You're not just getting Taco Bell. I mean, because
you're going all
everything
out.
Is so cheap, and then like you feel like really rich. So you just start like buying everything,
sure, yeah, and like well, hoping that the people behind you can hear how much you're buying. Like you're the Sultan of Brunei.
Like, it's like hey. It's like for $25, I can get like all this stuff, and so like, and then I just wake up with the grease from Kentucky Fried Chicken on me, which I don't even like Kentucky Fried Chicken. But it was just you know, it just you feel so powerful.
I can't believe you've never had Dairy Queen, man.
Nah.
See,
I've had Burger King.
Now, Dairy Queen, their grill is underrated. Like, the burgers are underrated, but that's
never
not why you go.
There.
Oh,
never had a burger.
Dude, the burgers are excellent.
I mean,
but
we're going, you know, the regular stuff.
That's not why you go. You go there for the blizzards.
We go there for blizzards, yes.
Blizzards are weird as hell, dude, because they make the blizzard, and if you go through the drive-thru, they hold them upside down before they hand it to you.
Oh, no, they do that at the window, too. They do that at the window,
too. That's what I'm saying, the drive-thru. Yeah. I don't know why they do that. Just to show you how thick it is.
An act of integrity. It shows the integrity of the...
Fred, we have someone on line one that I think you're going to enjoy.
Oh, boy. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I just want to talk about cannabis beer for a moment. You guys were kind of misled about...
Why don't you have more pauses between your words?
And more ambulances in the background or cars backing up. That was.
I mean, Jesus. Get it out. It's not so hard.
Well, speaking of beer, as I was saying, Sam Adams has a brew that is so high in alcohol that 15 states have said, nope, you can't sell it here. The beer is called Utopia. It is a Halloween beer, and is 28% alcohol by volume. Man.
All right.
Just call it liquor then.
Yeah, so it's what is that, 56 proof?
I don't know what the proof would be. I just know that most beers are somewhere between 5 and 10.
Yeah, you double the alcohol percentage.
It's like I went to that Trillium thing on the Greenway, which is kind of like the summer beer garden. I don't know if they still do it this time of year. And you go there, and you start drinking their beer, and you realize you're getting pretty wasted pretty quick. And you look up, and it's like 10, 11%. I mean, you drink like one or two of those beers, and it's shocking how drunk you can get.
Or you could get a Coors Light and a bottle of Wild Turkey. And drink the Coors Light and the Wild Turkey and get drunk.
Yeah, I like looking at the 5 and 6%. It's like, all right.
See, but if you go to like a beer place and they give you like the high percentage, sometimes they'll only give it to you in like a special glass.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you getting ahead of yourself. Meanwhile, you could drink 18 shots and they don't care. But if it's in beer, it's got to be served in something with a stem. All right. What do we got? What are they over there? Gillette or what's the deal? Oh, Zoe's going to be in New York.
I think he's already in New York.
Yeah, that's what I said. Zoe's going to be in New York. I forgot about that. And Bertrand's here, so we'll figure out how that whole thing's going to work. And maybe they're in Bergen, New Jersey, perhaps. We will find all that out in just a moment.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
We'll add another one to the pile of the disregarded. Hardy, also not invited to Joe Murray's soiree.
Yeah, I saw the photos of that, so who got invited in this room?
Me.
That's it.
Just Rich?
Just Rich.
Not Fred, not Wallace.
Nope.
Nope.
As a matter of fact, Dan and Mike also were not invited. Somehow, Nick and Bird and Rich were.
Nick and Bird, I get, because they're part of the Loon crew.
Yeah.
I've gone to the Kowloon as well.
Oh, that's true. Hang on.
That is true.
You are essentially part of the Loon crew.
I am.
All I know is if you invite Marshall Hook to something, he's going.
Yes. No, I was invited to a Kowloon.
He does not say no.
Yeah. I was invited to a Kowloon outing a few weeks ago, and I was unable to attend.
I just can't go. Like those Kowloon things, I would love to go just to kind of see and hear.
It's a scene, man.
Oh, yeah.
Why can't you go?
Oh, because I've got a million things to do at night. Don't you have kids with 18 hours of homework and football and
practice?
Yeah,
but you go to other things at night.
Not like that.
What do you mean not like that?
Not
things that are outside of your home?
Something that is like required for me to do?
If it were important to you, you would go.
It's not that important to me. No.
Bingo. There you go. It's not important.
I can't think of...
You don't care.
I can't think of anything that would get me to go to Saugus for dinner. I can't think of literally a scenario where I would sit in that traffic.
Yeah. The traffic is the number one issue. The Kowloon is phenomenal. And you haven't been in there, right, Fred?
I don't think I have.
It's great.
It is great.
And the experience is funny.
Yeah,
and
by the way, I owe nothing to Kowloon.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah. So yeah. I owe nothing to them.
I'm
not someone who gets favors from Andy Wong. If they want to bring in food, that's fine.
Yes, but you should accept his gesture in the spirit of true friendship. And there may be a day. And that day may never come where he's... You are called upon to do a favor for Andy Wong in the spirit of true friendship.
That's the Wong father.
The fact that we talk about Kowloon this much, I think, is a reward.
That's enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
So something interesting happened over the weekend. I was in Omaha visiting my wife's family, and we were told as we were going to take the kids to the zoo on Saturday, they're like, oh, it's going to be busy on Saturday. I said, why is that? And they said, Huskers bye week.
Ooh. So,
what? I mean, they play in Lincoln, and it's not, everything will be busy. They weren't lying, and trust the locals. I thought that's ridiculous. Just because the college football team that plays 90 minutes away
is
not
well
playing
known.
This weekend.
Home games, the stadium is like the fourth largest city in the entire state.
But it doesn't matter. It's like if it were home or if it were away, everyone would either be at the game or home watching the game. And since they didn't have a game to watch on Saturday, what else do you do? You go to the zoo.
It's like that in Tennessee, too.
It was packed.
I have a friend who is a single guy, fatter guy, moved from Atlanta, Omaha, Nebraska for a job. I can't think of a worse existence.
First of all, no one's single in Omaha unless they have eight kids and got divorced. They all get married when they're like three.
They do get married young. Yes.
Yeah, and then so they're all taken.
Right.
So all he does is go to a sports bar, according to Facebook. He tweets a bunch of, he Facebooks a bunch of stuff like, remember when?
Oh dear.
I actually,
run. That's not a happy person.
I actually feel bad for him.